Basic Bible Doctrine, Chapter 12, Predestination. Scripture, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, and also Romans chapter 8, 29 and 30, and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God Almighty, the one true and living God, the God of the Bible, is a God of purpose, sovereign, eternal, unalterable purpose. Everything that comes to pass in time is brought to pass by the hand of our God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. This eternal purpose of God is what we call, in Bible terms, predestination. Predestination is the decree of God whereby he hath, for his own glory, foreordained whatever comes to pass. So said Charles Buck. A Bible doctrine. There is absolutely no question about the fact that the Word of God teaches the doctrine of predestination. It is taught throughout the Scriptures and clearly stated in numerous passages of inspiration. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. John chapter 6, verse 37. John chapter 17, verses 2 to 24. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And chapter 17, verse 8. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew chapter 11, verse 26. Exodus chapter 4, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. And chapter 4, verse 28. And chapter 13, verse 48. Romans chapter 9, verse 11. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. The basis of our faith is the Word of God, and the Word of God alone. We do not believe the doctrine of predestination because it is a logical or reasonable part of a theological system, though it is both logical and reasonable. We do not believe this doctrine, or any other doctrine for that matter, simply because it has been upheld and maintained by true believers throughout the ages of Christianity. Though it cannot be denied that Christians have always taught God's sovereign predestination. This is a doctrine the Church of God has always maintained. Yet neither logic nor history is the basis of our faith. The basis of our faith is the Word of God alone. We believe this doctrine, rejoice in it, preach it from the housetops because it is plainly taught in Holy Scripture. The fact that predestination is a Bible doctrine simply cannot be disputed. The only question to be answered is this: what does the Bible teach about predestination? Misrepresentations. This is a doctrine which is often deliberately misrepresented by those who oppose it and ignorantly misrepresented by those who try to defend it. In fact, it is hard to say whether this doctrine has suffered more in the camp of its enemies or in the camp of its friends. So we will begin this chapter by identifying four common misrepresentations of divine predestination. First, the Bible does not teach that impersonal Stoic philosophy which says whatever will be, will be. That sort of philosophical fatalism attempts to remove from man all responsibility for his actions and for his condition in life. We do not for a moment believe that a man is the master of his own destiny. Yet the Scriptures make every person responsible for his own soul. Our eternal destiny is our own responsibility. Second, the Word of God does not teach that religious fatalism which says, the elect will be saved no matter what. We believe and rejoice in the Bible doctrine of election. It is impossible to believe the Book of God and not believe in election. However, the Word of God never suggests or even allows the possibility that the elect will be saved no matter what. The Scriptures plainly declare that no one will ever be saved who does not hear the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Acknowledge and confess his sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Repent of his sins. Luke chapter 13, verse 5. And persevere in the faith. Matthew 10, verse 22. God has predestinated the use of specific means for the accomplishment of his purposes. The use of those means is as necessary and as certain as the end itself. Third, the Word of God nowhere teaches that God has arbitrarily predestinated some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. The all-wise God never does anything arbitrarily. He has a wise and good purpose for everything he does, and everything he purposed from eternity. The everlasting condemnation of the reprobate was as much a part of God's decree as the salvation of the elect. Proverbs 16 verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, Jude verse 4. The Bible speaks as plainly about the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction as it does about the vessels of mercy which he afore prepared unto glory. Romans chapter 9 verses 21 to 24. However, we must never fail to recognize that God's predestination, whilst securing the salvation of the elect by God's hand alone, leaves the responsibility for every sinner's damnation upon his own shoulders. The elect, the vessels of mercy, are prepared for glory by God's free grace in Christ, whereas the reprobate, the vessels of wrath, are fitted to destruction by their own sin and willful unbelief. Salvation is always set before us in the Bible as being God's doing and God's work alone. Damnation is always set before us in the Bible as being man's fault and man's work alone. Fourth, divine predestination is not based upon God's foreknowledge. Predestination is not God's foreknowledge of what would come to pass, but his purpose and determination of what must come to pass. It is not the result of what God knew man would do. Rather, predestination is what he determined he would do. The fact is, nothing could be absolutely foreknown that was not absolutely predetermined. That which is foreknown must have been foreordained. God knew the end of all things from the beginning, because he had predestinated the end from the beginning. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24, verse 26, verse 27, and Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 11. The doctrine of Scripture. Essentially, the doctrine of divine predestination is this. Before the world began, God sovereignly predestinated all his elect to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which he accomplishes in time by his sovereign, irresistible, immutable grace, and foreordained all things necessary to accomplish that great goal in the way which is most honouring to himself. Eternal predestination is God's sovereign work. Carefully observe the language of Scripture. He also did predestinate. He is the original cause of all things. He is the source of salvation. Everything springs from him. It is written, all things are of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 and Romans chapter 11 verse 36. Specifically, predestination is God's eternal purpose of grace toward his elect. It is God's determination to save his elect. It is his determination of the everlasting destiny of chosen sinners before the world began. Without question, God's sovereign purpose and absolute decree included all things, all people, and all events in heaven, earth and hell. However, the revealed object of predestination is the salvation of the chosen. Divine predestination is absolutely free, sovereign and unconditional. This work of God was finished before the world began. Predestination was an immutable, unalterable work of God's free grace in Christ. God's predestination is his gracious purpose to save specific sinners, his purpose founded upon and arising from his everlasting love. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, Romans chapter 8 verses 29 and 30, Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 5, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. Salvation is accomplished by the irresistible power of God's grace, according to the sovereign purpose of God in his eternal decree, through the merits of Christ's blood and righteousness as the sinner's substitute. Salvation is not the result of man's will, but of God's. It is not the sinner's will that brings him to Christ, but God's will. God's will is not ruled by or subject to man's will. Man's will is ruled by and subject to God's will. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Romans chapter 9, verse 16. Salvation is God's work. It is accomplished by God's sovereign, deliberate purpose. It is a work which the Lord God Almighty purposed to accomplish from eternity. The means or method by which he would accomplish this glorious work was devised and resolved upon from eternity in the everlasting covenant of grace and counsel of peace. This is God's purpose. In eternal mercy, he determined to save a people for the glory of his own great name by the substitutionary sacrifice of his dear Son. Job chapter 33, verse 24. Psalm 89, verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 to 26, chapter 5, verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The death of Christ at Calvary was no accident or afterthought with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to accomplish our salvation by his death as our substitute, according to his Father's own determinate counsel. Luke 22, verse 22, Acts chapter 2, verse 23, and Acts chapter 4, verse 28. It was God Almighty who determined the time, place, and circumstances of Christ's birth. It was God alone who determined the time and instrument of his Son's betrayal. It was God the Father who determined the time, place, and circumstances of his Son's execution at the hands of wicked men. And it was God who determined what the results of his Son's sacrificial death upon the cross would be. The Father resolved from eternity to save chosen sinners by the sin-atoning death of his own darling Son. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 and 11. All of this the Lord God resolved upon and predestinated for his own glory in the salvation of his elect. He chose to save sinners by the sacrifice of Christ, through the power of his grace, without any aid or assistance from them, for the glory of his own great name. Psalm 106, verse 8, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, and verse 12, and verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Whatever predestination affords, brings to pass, and accomplishes, is for God's elect. Read the Scriptures. Predestination concerns God's chosen. It secures their salvation, their preservation, and their glory. Predestination is much, much more than an abstract theory of theological speculation. Predestination is one of the most practical, blessed, and glorious doctrines revealed in Holy Scripture. Predestination does not keep anyone out of heaven. People often look upon predestination as a frightful monster which stands at the gate of heaven and arbitrarily shuts multitudes out, saying, "No, you cannot come in. You cannot be saved, no matter how much you want to be, because you were not chosen and predestinated to salvation." Nothing could be further from the truth. God's work of predestination is what opens the gates of heaven. Any sinner who is lost at last and goes to hell will do so as the result of deliberate action on his part. If anyone goes to hell, it will be his own fault. If men refuse to walk in the light God has given them, that is their fault. And when they are cast into hell, they will acknowledge the justice of God in casting them into hell. Reprobation is always presented to us in the Word of God as a judicial act. Judgment is an act of justice. It is something God does in justice in response to man's sin. God sends blindness because men and women choose not to see. He sends hardness of heart to those who harden their hearts against him. He sends men to hell because they will not bow to his Son. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 to 38. Be sure you understand this. If anyone goes to hell, it is his own fault alone. He has no one to blame but himself. But if anyone is saved, it will be God's doing alone, the result of deliberate effort on God's part. We will have no one to thank and praise for it but God. God's salvation began in eternal predestination. Without predestination, we would all be damned forever. Predestination is the guarantee of salvation for God's elect. God Almighty predestinated all things for the everlasting salvation of his elect and the glory of his name. In other words, all that comes to pass in time was purposed by God in eternity, purposed for our soul's everlasting good and God's everlasting praise. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. The object. The object of our God in predestination is that we should be conformed to the image of his own dear Son. The one thing God Almighty is determined to accomplish in us by his purpose, his providence, his power and his grace, is an exact likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. I cannot imagine anyone being upset with that fact, except those who yet hate God and his Son. Through the sin and fall of our father Adam, we all became sinners. We lost God's image in which we were created, and forfeited life, communion, fellowship, and acceptance with him forever. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Yet God's purpose was not overthrown when Adam sinned. It was executed exactly according to his sovereign will and infinite wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. God Almighty was determined from the beginning to glorify himself in his creation by rescuing a multitude which no man can number from Adam's fall and restoring them to his image perfectly, forever through another representative man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. God looked upon his Son from eternity with such joy and delight that he said, I will have an innumerable multitude of sons and daughters just like him. Thus, when predestination has done its work, every chosen sinner will be exactly conformed to the image of God's dear Son, holy and without blame before God himself. Believers are being conformed to Christ in his nature. He is begotten of God, and so are we. We are conformed to Christ in his relationship. He is the Son of God, and we are the sons and daughters of the Almighty. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. We must also be conformed to Christ in his experience. Like Christ, we must learn obedience through the things we suffer. Like him, we must endure abuse from men. Like our Master, we must suffer the attacks of Satan. Like Christ, we must struggle against temptation and sin. We must be conformed to Christ in his character. Like him, we must be consecrated to God. Like him, we must live by God's word. Like him, we must seek our Father's will. Like him, we must be loving, kind, and tender toward one another. Because God purposed it, we must at last be conformed to the image of Christ in his glory. Salvation, when it is finished, will be perfect and complete. Communion with, consecration to, and conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ forever. This salvation from start to finish is accomplished by God, according to his own sovereign purpose of grace in predestination. God predestinated from eternity who will be saved, the means by which he would save them, the time of their salvation, all the events and circumstances necessary for and leading to their salvation. The place where he would save his chosen, their place in glory, and everything required to bring us safely home. For Christ's sake. The ultimate end of God in predestination, as in all other things, is the exaltation and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has determined to glorify himself in glorifying his glorious Son. He has predestinated his elect unto the adoption of sons, that Jesus Christ, his eternal only begotten Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30, chapter 11, verses 33 to 36, and Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. Predestination gives Christ the preeminence, because Christ is the centre of God's decrees. He is the head of a new elect race. He is the centre and glory of heaven. Predestination gives Christ pleasure because his delights were with the sons of men before time began. Now he has a race of men in whom and with whom he delights. He loves them, and they all love him. This was the joy set before him, for which he endured the cross, despising the shame. This is the reward of his labour. Predestination gives Christ praise. God has arranged things so that all the population of heaven will owe everything to Christ, so that everyone in Gloryland will chant Emmanuel's praise forever, and Emmanuel's praise alone. This is the glorious doctrine of predestination in which we rejoice. It is a most profitable doctrine. It destroys every basis of human pride. It exalts the glory of Christ and the grace of God. It gives us a purpose in evangelism. It gives us a sure hope before God, 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5. It puts us at peace with God's providence. It opens the doors of heaven to sinners and guarantees that some shall enter therein. It shuts us up to God for everything. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24.